Well, you've already got three performances under your belt. Are you happy with it? Are you going to have to re-record everything, or?
Well, you know, it's the thing with theater. We always want to do it again and do it better every time. So it's always tempting, but we've torn down the set. We've sent everybody home. I don't know if we can get them all together again. We'll have to find out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So was it really one take for all the actors?
We did a couple takes and kind of, you know, just enough to give ourselves something, you know, a couple things to choose between. But we did do the entire thing as one take. We decided we weren't going to do the normal film thing of like Frankensteining a few shots together and getting the best version of every single line. So right. It's all one straight take from beginning to end for each actor.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And basically we did two takes so that we had a safety.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, right, a backup.
Yep.
Yeah, that's wise. Well, joining the program now, I have Brendan Cochran, who is the director of Rogues Gallery, the new Sopris Theater production. Welcome, Brendan.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Also with me is Brad Moore. He is the CMC Theater Operations Manager. Welcome, Brad.
Hi. Thanks for having us here.
And Ciara Morrison is here, too. Ciara is one of the actors in Rogues Gallery. Hello, Ciara.
Hi there. Happy to be here.
So I discovered before I talked to you that this was actually written this year by John Patrick Shanley during the quarantine. Is that correct?
It's brand new. Yeah. 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 Sort of written and designed to allow people to do theater of the COVID era. So, yeah.
Huh. And I don't know, I didn't go very deep into the Google search, but it looks like two or three other places have already mounted a production of this, but you're certainly among the first ones.
Yeah, we are. There've been just a couple of productions it's new enough that we're even having a hard time trying to figure out how to, you know, read the script, and it's still in manuscript form and all of that kind of stuff.
The press release that I read said, this is a diverse group of flawed characters facing their own complicated circumstances, questionable behaviors, and internal quirks. Brendan, maybe you could address that. That sounds kind of fascinating.
Yeah. I think, you know, you kind of get that idea of Rogues Gallery. It's the lineup of sort of all the usual suspects. You know, all of the stories are completely separate. The narratives don't really tie together in any way. So you're really getting these sort of snapshots, one-off stories from nine different people. Not a lot of background for who these people are or where they came from, just sort of this moment in time for each of them. And it's usually addressing some sort of bad behavior or some sort of, yeah, dark instance in their life.
Ciara, as an actress in this, I wonder if that has posed particular challenges for you.
I wouldn't say that it has posed any challenges. It was definitely fun to be a unique character that can stand alone, but also be a part of this larger group of characters that, if they met, could certainly have some things to relate back to each other.
Well, did it change the way you approach your character, since it's just a monologue and you're not moving around on a stage? So I guess the only movement that you're concerned with are your facial expressions, maybe your hands?
Yep, that's exactly right. We were seated or in one spot on the stage. So, yeah, it lessened you know, a big part of theater is learning your blocking and how you interact with other characters. So that was not a part of this piece. And it really gave us a beautiful opportunity to focus on the character and create our own backstory for them and really be able to dive into just that character specifically and why they are who they are.
And constructing that backstory, you're doing that just from the script, right? There's nothing else, is there?
Yeah, which in some instances, you know, my script was a few paragraphs. So it's really rewarding to do this kind of work and get a small piece of the puzzle to go off and be able to work with the director, in this case, Brendan, be able to work with Brendan and kind of piece this puzzle together into what we think it represents.
Brendan, I guess there are 9 characters in this piece, and I'll have Ciara describe hers in just a moment, but maybe you could describe some of the other characters, or all of them, for that matter.
Well, I think, you know, the stories are very diverse. You know, some of them tend towards very dark, very dramatic kind of places, and some of them are really just dealing with total absurdities of life. We have Mike Banks is playing a character who buys a townhouse and finds an artificial leg in the basement and sort of can't decide what to do with this thing. He feels guilty getting rid of it and sort of slowly goes mad in the process of trying to figure out what to do with this thing. We also have, you know, stories of sort of these dark interactions with humans that sort of drive people to, you know, go to these dark places, issues with infidelity, issues with a lot of different things, you know, a lot of just human drama that occurs in life. Yeah, it's a big mixed bag.
Any kids involved or is it all adults?
All adults. Uh-huh. Yeah, the not all of the stories, but a few of them definitely tend towards, you know, the adult content side of things. There's definitely some strong language and adult content in some of these. So definitely sort of an adult focused production.
I didn't find much in a Google search of Rogues Gallery, but I did discover 6 or 7 videos of pretty well-known actors doing these monologues. There's Ethan Hawke, there's Deborah Messing, there's John Turturro. I can't remember who some of the others were. But I really found that interesting just to get a sense of what this really is. And I don't want to spoil anything by suggesting that listeners check out some of those videos. But for me, it really convinced me that this is not a rookie piece by any stretch.
No. I mean, it's as Ciara said, you know, it's an opportunity that actors don't often get outside of acting classes, outside of, you know, sort of an educational realm where there's nothing to do but really dive into these characters and sort of find the clues in the script, and really you really have to dive deep into it to get into these people's heads for sure.
And as a director, how did you go about doing that with your 9 actors?
You know, some of the starting places we kind of went to are you know, all of these stories sort of have a confessional quality to them. So why are they telling this story now? You know, what's the situation that they're in where they feel like they have to say this thing in this moment? Because we don't really get that given to us. We don't know who they're addressing. We don't know where they are. So we sort of built these stories that didn't necessarily come through in the script, you know, around these characters to sort of give them high stakes for talking about this stuff.
Did the script specify the order of these monologues, or is that up to you guys?
It's an interesting piece for that. There is sort of a suggest, you know, they are listed in a particular order, but it's an interesting piece with, you know, we have to pay the royalties to the company that has the rights to the show. And it's a unique show in that you can either buy the rights individually to each of the monologues, or you can go ahead and get the entire set. And so, you know, we felt there was a little more freedom to kind of play with things like that. We ended up doing them in the order that was suggested, just because it seemed to create some sense of kind of a dramatic arc throughout all the stories, and it seemed to make sense to us.
And yet the pieces are not linked in any thematic way or any other way.
Yeah. You know, we kind of worked as a cast to figure out why these nine pieces were put together, and sort of what the through lines or, you know, the stuff underneath the stories had to do with each other, you know, throughout these nine. But that's, you know, it's more thematic than narrative. You know, it's not anything to do with these characters knowing each other or interacting with each other.
And yet every character is dealing in their own particular way with the lockdown. Is that right?
You know, that it's something we sort of talked about, was just this idea of feeling contained in a space, which is something that, you know, I think everybody watching can relate to right now. We're all sort of tied down to, you know, these small spaces, into our homes, even into these little boxes I'm seeing all you guys in on Zoom here. So, you know, something about that creates this sort of pressure cooker situation that all of these characters are kind of going through too. But actually only our last monologue directly deals with someone experiencing being stuck at home because of COVID-19. She addresses the pandemic and being stuck and that kind of thing.
Is that the one called Lockdown?
That is, yeah.
Yeah. Brad Moore, maybe you could tell us why you chose this piece for the first performance of your season this year.
Well, yeah. You know, as we were starting to come into, you know, as we're getting into the summer and looking forward to what theater might be and what we might be able to do, what I did not want to do was to announce a season that we would have to then either cancel or postpone or change. So I wanted to find shows that I could make sure that we could present in a variety of ways that we could be flexible with, so that if someone got sick or if we could have an audience, we could not have an audience. Can we do this from the theater? Can we do this from our living room to yours? So I found this script, and I was intrigued because it's individuals, it's these monologues. So we can certainly rehearse it individually. We can present it individually. I also needed to make sure that we didn't have a large technical need, that, you know, we don't have something where we have a bunch of crew members who are climbing on top of each other, trying to get a certain effect done or a scene change made or whatever. And something where we don't have a need for costume changes and lots of props, because then we're having to deal with all of those issues, disinfecting costumes in between every use. How do we share a prop? We can't. So anyway, the idea of doing this show really appealed to me, and I'm fascinated by Shanley's work, but I'm also fascinated by this telling of stories. I just, you know, this is not something that we would normally be able to do. We wanted to, in presenting a season, we wanted to be able to make sure that we had an opportunity for our theater artists to work, to explore their craft. You know, that goes for technicians and actors and directors. I mean, you know, we all are just craving the opportunity to get to work and to do something and to create this art that we all so desperately love and need. So this seemed like a perfect chance to explore that. And it turned out that it was a good choice, in so much as we were not able to bring in an audience, and we did have a couple of close scares during rehearsals about people who had potential contact with somebody who potentially might have had, you know, one of those things. So we were able to just, every time we needed to, we could turn on a dime. And you know, Brendan and I were talking about this before opening night. By the time we recorded the show, we had accomplished our goal, and that was to get people together and explore our craft. And you know, then being able to share this with an audience is wonderful. It was not the main purpose of what we're doing. It was wonderful to be able to get this out there, because our audiences also want to be able to participate in what we do. And some of them are comfortable in coming into a theater. Some of them are not. Right now, that's not an option for us. But, you know, by choosing the season, it gives us those opportunities.
And yet, paradoxically, you might have a larger audience than what might have gone into the theater to see a piece.
We just might, yeah.
How about that? How was the virtual attendance on the first weekend of shows?
You know, it was not huge. It probably was about what we would maybe expect in doing a show like this in the theater. I already am getting hints that we're going to have really pretty strong attendance this weekend.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, it's, you know, when you plan to go to the theater and you put it on your calendar and you're ready to go, but when it's streamed, it's kind of like, oh, well, if something else comes up, for example, if the president-elect decides to have a speech at the same time we're going to have a show, well, you know, some people are going to, can I see another show? Of course you can. And, you know, that's the other thing, is we're just really flexible about it. I mean, we were talking right before we started recording this about how there's really, it's sort of a difficult concept of time and, you know, the passage of time and dates. And so, I think we will have a lot of people showing up. But it is weird, because it's like, oh, well, you mean I have to watch it at a certain time? It's not like, you know, it's not like on demand. And, you know, live and learn through all of this. Maybe next time we'll do something that's more on demand, so you can see it anytime you want within a certain time period. But what we're doing with this, and part of it had to do with the licensing, but, you know, you get a ticket for 7 o'clock on Friday night. You're going to sit down and watch it at 7 o'clock on Friday night.
Ciara Morrison, back to you. I would think that actors get a particular charge from performing in front of an audience that's in front of them. Is it a challenge for you to connect with your audience through the camera?
It is certainly a different art form to connect through the camera. You know, film actors, I think, have a different process than stage actors. And, you know, many people are able to do both. But for those of us who haven't had experience acting to a camera, it was definitely different, but also very exciting. So I do, you know, like you said, get a certain charge from being in front of a live audience and feeling what they're potentially feeling. But this new experience was also really exciting. So that provided kind of a different sort of excitement and energy that I was able to put into my performance.
Ciara, maybe you could describe your character and the name. What's the name of your piece?
My piece is I Was Right About Everything. And my character is the best food cart cowboy in the Bronx.
Oh.
And my character is also a self-proclaimed liar, because when I lie, anything is possible. So I kind of have a big air around me of confidence and knowing. And I have a really fantastic ability to pretend that maybe I don't feel all the same things that other people do. But if you watch my piece, it's evident that my character is just as human as everyone else, even though I really try my best to avoid that.
That's interesting. Well, I I have a few questions, but I sort of think they're probably spoilers, so I won't ask them. But that's interesting that you have that. Is it safe to say that you might come to some new understandings of life and or your life?
I think throughout my piece, I definitely face some hard truths and admit some things to myself that I hadn't maybe allowed myself to recognize previously.
Oh, interesting. And all of that in the space of two paragraphs.
Maybe four or five paragraphs.
Oh, okay. Huh. Wow. Wow. So that's like a short story.
Still a pretty quick journey.
Huh. Huh. How about that?
My character is very quick on their feet. They never stop thinking and processing and moving along. And I am able to come to those new conclusions.
Brendan, I wonder if the same holds true for all the other characters.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's definitely some transformative stories in there. I think, you know, one of the things that we kind of talked about as a through line for all of these stories is it's a lot of people dealing with being vulnerable in the world and being vulnerable with other people and the defenses that we put up against that, how we sort of protect ourselves from our vulnerabilities. And we definitely see that on display in all of these stories in some really diverse ways. You know, I think some people really end up a different person on the other end of their story. And some of them have completely reinforced that they had it figured out all along and there's nothing wrong with them. And they couldn't have possibly gotten anything wrong about this.
Huh. Interesting. Well, you know, when you say, as you say that, it occurs to me that you could say the same about all of us in these times.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of what we're all dealing with, how vulnerable we are.
Yeah. I mean, it's what I love about this is it's, you know, these stories that seemingly have nothing to do with each other, but they're so representative of the human experience.
You know, I don't want you to give too much away, but in watching those videos, those YouTube videos of some of these characters, I was really struck by the different scenarios. So I'm trying to think of a way that we can communicate that to the listener of this piece. Maybe you could synopsize a couple more of the characters because they're really interesting.
Let's see. We have... you know, we have some stories that are very sort of, you know, slice of life kind of things of just sort of a tense interaction with another person. And some of these get very bizarre. We definitely have at least two that, if we believe the characters, then we've sort of gone into the realm of the supernatural. We have one guy played by James Steindler who has a regular recipient of acupuncture that has this sort of bizarre otherworldly experience that he sort of comes out the other side a changed man. So
well, because he had to find a new acupuncturist, right?
His old acupuncturist we find out was kind of a troublemaker, so
But the new one, well, I'll stop there because I definitely don't want to spoil that piece.
I don't want to give too much away. I know,
but anyway, that was. Well, does anyone have anything else they'd like to add to this?
I'm just going to say, you know, in sort of a quick summary, we put together a little bit of a campaign for marketing where we had a quote from each of the stories. So for like the first one is called Unknown Caller. And it's just a picture of Gerald DeLisser who does that piece. And then underneath it just says, "Where was the ring? All I see is an open box." And then for Drive, which Lauren Kenning does, I'm falling short of that exact quote, but it's something about, I'll have to come back to that one anyway, but you know, it's for each of the pieces, it's just sort of a quick quote. I mean, like for the artificial leg we were talking about with Mike Banks, it's who leaves the leg? That's all the quote is, you know, so it's a little bit of something to share each of the stories. But what's interesting about any of that is just that each one of those has this really interesting problem that they have to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's, so there are, I mean, I guess very quickly there are nine pieces. So we have Unknown Caller with Gerald DeLisser. We have Gaucho with Nick Garay. We have Drive with Lauren Kenning. We have I Was Right About Everything with Ciara. Lockdown is Emily Henley. Let's see, who else? Travis Wilson does The Clerical Line, which is just, it's another one of those just really amazing, amazingly bizarre but fun pieces. And let's see, did I mention Mike Banks is doing The Artificial Leg?
The Acupuncturist.
James Steinler is doing The Acupuncturist. And I'm missing one. Who am I missing?
Cassidy.
Oh, Cassidy Wiley. How could I forget that? Cassidy Wiley is doing a piece called Ditto, which is, and just the quote under her picture is, I was scared to death.
Ooh.
Another one of our sort of supernatural ones. It's got a little bit of a Black Mirror vibe to it.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
So anyway, it's really fun. It's a great collection of really interesting stories. You know, and again, I mean, if you're trying to tune in because you want to see a lot of slapstick comedy and a lot of farce happen on stage, yeah, you're going to be disappointed. But I think if you want to come see some brilliant performances, it's all of what, 58 and a half minutes long, I think. But it's a wonderful evening of just watching some amazing performers just really dive into their craft. I think it's delightful.
Sounds very promising. No doubt about it. Let's talk, before I let you all go, let's talk a little bit about some of the details. How does one acquire tickets, et cetera, et cetera?
Okay. Well, to acquire a ticket, if you go to showtixforyou.com, so that's SHOWTIX, the number 4 and the letter U.com, showtixforyou.com. As soon as you get to their page, it'll ask you to search for an organization. It'll say find an organization, I think. And if you start to type in Sopris Theater Company, it will bring you right to Rogues Gallery. And then there's an opportunity to purchase tickets there. You can also do it the old-fashioned way of getting in touch with us at the Sopris Theater Company at Colorado Mountain College. So SV Ticket Sales at coloradomtn.edu, or you can call us at 970-947-8177 and we'll help get you that link. You can also just go to the Colorado Mountain College website. If you go to Colorado Mountain College /theater, that'll take you to our page that will then give you the links to all of those things.
So you buy one ticket for one performance of all nine pieces at a particular day and time.
Yes. So we have three remaining performances. So Friday night, the 13th at 7 o'clock, Saturday night, the 14th at 7 o'clock, and Sunday afternoon, the 15th at 2 o'clock.
Perfect. And I'm assuming that requires a high-speed internet line.
Well, ideally, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
If you have any troubles, they have quote unquote ushers who will help you through that on their end. And I mean, there has been one person who complained of a little bit of a hiccup at one point because of her internet, but we got that all fixed. So.
Cool. Well, Brad Moore, I want to thank you for joining us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much.
Brendan Cochran, thanks to you too.
Yeah, no, thanks for having us.
And Ciara Morrison, I want to thank you for joining us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Does break a leg still happen on a video Zoom session?
Oh, certainly.
You better break a monitor, maybe. I don't
yeah, know. There we go.
Break a connection, but break. We don't want that.
Yeah, no.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.